Welcome to the People Powered Business Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Lee Billett. If you employ staff, engage contractors, or rely on people to help deliver your products or services, you're in the right place. Join us each week as we dive in to uncover what makes people tick, learn the best strategies and tactics to build an amazing team, and most importantly, discover how you, the business owner or leader, can unleash the power of your people to help create the successful business you deserve. Let's get started. Hi there, Christy Lee here. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to let you in on some special news. If you're listening to this episode as it's being released on or around the 21st of October 2020, the doors to the Your People Powered Business membership are open right now and we're waiting for you. If you're a savvy business owner who's had some success building their team, but you've hit a point where you're a bit stuck, want some guidance and some support, want to make sure you get it right and you're building the most amazing team possible, this membership is for you. If you've grown to a certain level, you've now offloaded some of these responsibilities to your 2IC or your office manager, and you want them to make sure they're getting some support and getting it right so you don't need to check in on everything, this would be a great place for them as well. If you're building an amazing team, you want to make sure you're compliant and you just want some support and some help along the way, not only with the compliance part, but with all the other aspects of the people journey through your business, the Your People Powered Business membership is right now waiting for you to join. Just head on over to peoplepoweredbusiness.com.au and you'll be ready to join right there. And I really look forward to welcoming you inside of the membership. Now let's dive into today's episode. Today is episode number 32 of the People Powered Business Podcast. How exciting. I hope whatever you're up to, you're having an amazing week and that the day has been fabulous for you. I have been super busy, obviously, with the lead up to our membership opening, but also just super busy doing lots of client projects, presenting for people, and lots of other fun things. So I'm running on adrenaline right now, and I probably need another coffee. So we'll whiz through today's episode, but I do hope you are doing fabulously. Now, in today's episode, what I want to talk to you about is the journey that employees take when they join your business. For many years, I hired staff and had a great team, but I really didn't stop to think a lot of the time about the employee's journey. I would hire great people, they would work well, and I would just assume it might continue like that forevermore. But what happens, of course, is that if we don't follow the employee's journey and we don't pay attention and really make sure we're attentive to each and every part of the journey, we might slip up as business owners, as leaders, as managers. We might fail to do things properly. We might not understand the importance of a particular milestone to an employee. And what ends up happening then is that things fall apart. Your employee may not be engaged. They may leave your organization, worst case scenario, obviously, if they're a superstar, and you may just simply not be getting the best out of them. Also, when it comes time for them to leave, and everyone will at some point or another, you won't be prepared for that exit and you won't have the strategies and the practices in place to make sure your business is able to continue and flourish and you've got a step-by-step process ready to go to help move you forward. So the process that I'm going to talk you through today really just explains that journey and will allow you to take some time to reframe where you're doing well, where you possibly need to do some work, and what, in fact, the importance is of the journey as we go through. Now, I like to refer to this, I should say, as the people pathway within your business. Not only because, of course, we're talking about your people, which is important, but I've in fact used people as an acronym to unpack this pathway. So each of the letters in the word people references one particular part of the pathway. So let me get started for you and you'll understand exactly how that works. So firstly, the first step in the process of an employee joining you on their journey with your business is that you need to plan for their arrival. You need to plan in terms of understanding who you need, how long you need them for, when you need them, what that's going to look like, and you need to plan for how you're going to go and find that person before they even get to you. If you don't do the planning part, and I know it's not the fun and the most exciting and the sexiest part of HR, But if you don't get the planning part right, you can't possibly expect to get the right people for the right roles at the right time. So the planning part is particularly important. Now, we've done an episode on the podcast here previously on an exercise that I refer to as the clean slate exercise. It's not complex, it's super straightforward, and effectively what you're doing is forgetting about all the things that you've created position-wise up until now and all the people you've got in the business. You start with a blank piece of paper and you map out, starting with your own role, what the ideal scenario is for your business right now. What you need to work at an optimal level within the business setting to make sure you can deliver on what the workload looks like right at this point in time. Because so often as we build our businesses, we unintentionally Frankenstein roles together because we need a bit of this here and a bit of that there, and that will serve us for a certain period of time, absolutely. But as the growth occurs, as we build our businesses and build our teams, we need to make change. And so it's really important that you do this clean slate exercise. And in fact, I was presenting to a group today and we were working through this exercise, and some of them explained that they do this every 6 months in their business, which is so fantastic because they're just checking in to make sure they're on the right path, there aren't any gaps, and there aren't any overflows in areas where they might be over-resourced. And every time you do this exercise, mark my words, you find something that you'd missed. If you're doing this once a year, it's perfect, but you certainly want to be doing this as you go to grow your team. So what we do in this process is effectively create an organizational chart. And once we've got that clear in our mind, the next step, of course, is to bring back the people and the roles that we had and see what fits where. Don't try and put square pegs in round holes here. That's not the place for it. But you do want to look at what seamlessly flows back into your ideal org chart and where you might have issues in terms of an oversupply of certain types of resources or skill sets, or, of course, a gap where perhaps your expectations of what one employee can possibly get done have really sort of come off kilter because you've just been busy growing the business and now this employee is left with a workload that's probably 1.5 employees, for example. So clean slate exercise is a great place to start. In your planning process, you also want to be doing your position descriptions. You know from this podcast that I refer to these as the boss or all HR documents. From a performance management perspective, these are your gold. If you ever need to manage a performance issue with staff, having a great position description already in place just saves you so much time and angst because you've got a reference point to go straight back to when you're trying to manage that performance. So your position descriptions here are definitely important. And that gap and resource analysis is critical at this point in time to tell you who you need and when you need them. So understanding where you've got gaps, even if you're not going to fill that gap right now, knowing that that's the future plan is a really critical part of this planning process. So P, first P in people, represents planning. And this is the commencement of the employee's journey with you, because if you don't start with the planning, the right person's never going to come your way. Now we move on to the next step, which is the employment process. This is getting the right person in the door. And what we're talking about here is going to market to look for someone, writing the right ad campaign, putting our advertising or our call for a new employee out in the right channels, knowing where our ideal applicant is hanging out and where they might be looking for work, and attracting them in a way that is really genuine and in line with our values and represents a really clear picture of what our business is about. Because the best way to attract the right people is to be really transparent in your advertising and your recruitment campaigns in terms of this is who we are, this is how we do things, and this is the type of person we're looking for this role. Now, you don't have to be that literal about it. It can just be about the tone of voice you use. It can be about particular lingo that you might use, or just the general tone of the ad. If we write the right ads and we put the right ads in the right places, and when I say ads, I don't mean just always standard job ads. I'm talking social posts, call-outs to friends and family. I refer to all of that as our advertising campaign because it's our process of attracting top talent into our business. Once we've done that, we have to screen them. We have to make sure we're reviewing to make sure that they meet the criteria, that they are going to be able to do the position description that we're recruiting for. And then, of course, you've got your interview process. And stay tuned, we're going to do some episodes specifically on interviewing because it's something a few of you have asked me to do in some upcoming episodes. So we've got our interviewing process. And, of course, you want to make sure you're absolutely doing your background checks and reference checks. You might recall that my recommendation is to do no less than 2 reference checks and always, always do them with someone that the person has reported to in the past. So the employment piece of the journey is the process of attracting the right person, screening them for suitability, and ultimately making sure they're right for the job and presenting an offer to them. This is when you would do letters of offers, contracts of employment, make sure all of the paperwork's done and that everything's signed off, and you've got an agreement in relation to how the employment relationship is going to work. So now you have an employee. So this is the first interaction the candidates or the new employees get with your business, is this employment journey. So it's really important, as I said, to make sure it aligns with your values because you want to attract candidates that do match your values. You also really want to make sure that you are attracting people that are like the type of person you want. So really think about the language and the tone you use in the attraction process and use your screening and interviewing process to remove people that just don't fit with that. We all know you need to hire for fit and train for skills. It's a bit of an old saying, but it is still very true. So once you've employed them, the O stands for onboarding. You only get one chance to make a great first impression, and your onboarding process is that chance. The better that you do your onboarding, the quicker the new employee is up to speed, feels like part of the team, and is engaged in your business. That means they're going to be productive and efficient in their role. So to break down the onboarding, I look at it in this way. You've got day one, so important on that first impression front, making them feel really comfortable and welcome and familiar, making sure you show them around. Don't stick them in a corner on their first day and tell them to read the HR manual. That's not going to get them onboarded quickly. Then you've got week one. This is when they're getting to know everyone. They're really getting to know the rest of the team, ideally spending some time with other team members, just learning a little bit about their role so they can understand the bigger picture of how everyone works together. The first month is all about them learning the nitty-gritty of their role. Ideally, by the end of month one, you want them pretty much up to speed with the core of their role. They may still be perfecting things, but you want them to have a sense of what the role is, and they're able to do most of it by this time. So you're quite intensively hands-on with them day one, week one, and into month one. Then we look at quarter one. This is their first 3 months with the business, and I always suggest doing a little mini review at this time just to see how they're tracking against the position description, just to make sure you haven't missed anything in your training or that they perhaps haven't understood something or aren't sure but perhaps haven't felt comfortable to speak up because they're new, just making sure you've really covered off everything at this point in time. If you've got performance issues in Q1, I want you to sort those out in the next quarter, and if they're still there, you've got your probationary period. If they're not working out, that is the time to deal with that, absolutely. And the longer form of the onboarding process is their first year. So at their first year review, it should look like they are part of the family and someone you couldn't do without, basically. And doing that really effectively means you're going to have a super engaged employee. We might touch on engagement in a moment, but we've done some episodes on that before. So you will know that it takes 4 highly engaged employees to counteract the impact of 1 disengaged employee. So the quicker you can get them engaged, so they're not sitting in limbo between engaged and disengaged, the more productive they'll be, the more efficient they'll be, they'll put in that extra 10%, and they'll really be an important part of the furniture in the business. Now, once we've done all of that, it's really important that we don't forget, about our need to protect the business. We need to ensure we are compliant with the legislation. As dry and boring as that might be, it's a fact. We need to make sure of it. And we need to ensure that we've got processes and policies in place that are going to protect the business. Now, what that looks like for you might be quite different to the business next door from you, because the type of policies you need to protect you and protect your business might be slightly different. You definitely want to have some core policies in place. And one of the ones that I actually quite often see employers trip up on is a really basic one. It's a leave policy. A policy around how you're going to have them apply for, approve, and take their leave. It becomes a bigger issue as your team grows and more people want to take leave at the same time, which might not be a viable option. You also may not want a lot of people on leave at certain times of year, like your peak times and your busy times. Your leave policy is your document to really step that out for everyone so that there's no confusion, no ambiguity, and you've got a policy to fall back on to say, this is how we do things around here. It might be that you require leave applications in a certain time before the leave is requested. It might be that you have a policy where only one person will be on leave at one time, or one person per department can be on leave at any one time. You could even have a policy where there's a couple of months a year where leave is off the table because it is your peak time and it's all hands on deck and you just can't grant annual leave throughout that window of time. All of those things are possible to pull in a policy, but until you end up with a staff member who's unhappy about that, who challenges that, you don't know that you need that policy. And it is one of the most common ones, I think. I think managing annual leave can be tricky, particularly as your team grows. So you do definitely want all of those things in policies, anything that you think you're going to need to protect your business. And the great thing with policies, unlike employment contracts, is you can change policies. If you find that a policy is not serving you, you change it. If you find that you're missing a policy, you add it. And when you're getting those in place, you want to make sure the employees are reading them, signing off on them, and you're making sure that they agree with them. And just, of course, ensure that your policies and the processes and procedures you put in are all compliant with the Fair Work Act, with the relevant modern awards, because some of those awards do spell out, you know, various things in detail. So you want to make sure you're protecting yourself and protecting your business. This is where you also want to be looking at your workplace health and safety, because even though many of your team may be working from home, you're still responsible for their workplace health and safety. So you want to make sure you've got that all nicely wrapped up for them. After protection, we move on to leveraging. And this is the fun stuff. This is where we are taking the talent that we found, the gold that they've turned into, and we're making sure that we don't miss an opportunity to get the very best out of them every single day of the week. Now, a lot of our leverage strategies sit quite within our retention strategies, and we've just done two big episodes on retention. If you missed those, episode 30 and 31, we looked at reinventing retention and also some really strong retention strategies. Now, retention, as we covered, is not about throwing money at people. Rewards and recognition are great, but retention is about way more than that. So if you want to really dig in on retention, hop back and after you finish this episode, of course, and have a listen to episodes 30 and 31. Part of our leveraging strategy is to make sure we're doing really productive reviews with our staff as well. And I'm loving the concept of a quarterly review at the moment. It's the way most of the businesses I'm working with are going. But you can still do your traditional annual reviews or do twice a year. I've got a client that does the monthly. That's probably a bit too much for, you know, I would find that a bit cumbersome personally, but it works for them. So that's great. Doesn't matter what the cadence is, it's just got to be regular and no less than annually. Absolutely. So that review process tells the employee that you care. That keeps them engaged and you're able to leverage them because that's the discussion that you're having around where they want to go next as well. What their plan is for their future. How can you help them get there? How can that serve the business well? You might be talking professional development. So can you invest in this employee who has proven to be gold in some further training and development or in something else like that that's going to help them be even better for your business? And of course, when you're leveraging your staff, you're thinking about succession planning. If you know that their plan is that they want to move into a more senior role, you need to be thinking now about what's going to happen to their role. Because of course, a big thing that might hold you back from moving that person forward is the fact that they're so good at their current job and you've got no one else to replace them. But all that does is hold them back and ultimately hold your business back. So you really need to think about that succession planning and how you might manage that and whether you've got talent that could step up into this role in order for that person to move into the next role and so on and so forth. But leveraging the talent that you've got and that you've spent time onboarding and you've really developed is the key to unleashing the power of the people in your business. Now, of course, finally, we've got the last E there in people, and that is all about exiting. It is not terrible to exit people from your business if they are no longer suitable for your business. Businesses change and people change, and that is a-okay. So if you're needing to exit someone, drop the guilt, make the business decision, and do it compliantly, absolutely, with the legislation. But there may be times when it's actually appropriate and good for you to need to exit people from the business. And of course, there are times when they'll take that decision out of your hands and they'll resign. And that's an exit strategy. There may also be situations where you need to restructure. And that might mean things like redundancy. So there's different ways that people can leave your business. But know this, no employee is going to be with you forever. It's totally normal that people leave their jobs. People are far less likely to leave a good leader, so you want to keep that in mind with how you approach your leadership, but people do leave. Their situation changes, the job no longer serves them, they're seeking a challenge that you simply can't offer. There's a myriad of reasons, but people leaving is not the end of the world. It will be okay, but having a plan for how you deal with that is really important because it might shock you, you know, when someone resigns. So you need to have a process that you can quickly work through and say, right, do I want to, you know, try and get them to stay? They're going to exit anyway. What do I need to do from here to make that favorable? I also like to use things like exit interviews as part of the exit strategy to give a really different insight into the business. Now, these can be better off done by someone other than yourself, because they may not be quite so honest, but having a good exit interview process is great data for you to gather for your future recruits and your future team management, because it might give you an insight into, you know, possibly there's a problem that you weren't aware of. Possibly there's a challenge with workload or an individual that's causing issues. If you don't ask the questions, you won't get the answer. So to recap our people pathway, this is the journey that people take within your business when they join you as a team member. In order for this pathway to be smooth and to flow as best you can, you're looking at these processes. You firstly need to plan, and then of course you need to employ, and you want to employ the right person for the right job at the right time. You then want to onboard and conduct a really effective orientation process so that they can settle into the business as quickly as possible, learn their role really well, and be a highly engaged, highly productive, valued member of the team. You want to make sure you're protecting your business, and this is where all those compliance pieces come into play. You want to make sure you've got the policies and procedures in place to make sure your business is protected, so that there's clear boundaries and parameters for your people, and so there's no confusion about what is and isn't okay in your business. You then want to make sure you are leveraging your people, leveraging your superstars and everyone that's doing well to get the most out of them so they feel most highly engaged, they feel most motivated, and you can make sure that they stay with you as long as it works for both of you. And finally, of course, it does come time for people to exit your business, and that is okay. It's just about having strategies in place and understanding what you need to do in that scenario. And that is the people pathway. I really like using the acronym as this pathway because it just makes it so easy to flow. And I think oftentimes we either fail to plan or we fail to onboard effectively, because in small business, onboarding just seems a bit hard. It seems like a big corporate thing, but it's so important and it doesn't need to be complicated. Sometimes we don't know what we need to do to protect our business until after the fact, and that's part of the learning process as well. So having this framework and this pathway just helps you to tap in to understand, are you ticking all the boxes? Do you need to do some work in a particular area? Do your retention strategies need some work? Do you have exit plans in place? And you can see how the employee moves through this journey with you. So I hope that's been a great way to look at the employee's pathway within your business, and you're able to sort of take out from that. And it's been a very big picture overview. We didn't go into detail because that would be a very lengthy episode, but a big picture overview as to that pathway into your business. And you're able to sort of identify where you might have some gaps that you need to work on in that process and where you're smashing it out of the park and already doing a great job. So that's it for me today. Just a reminder at the end of today's episode, if you're listening just as this episode has been released on or around the 21st of October, the doors to the Your People Powered Business membership are now open. Within there, we're going to be doing group coaching calls every single month, live Q&A sessions. You're going to have a whole library of documents, templates, policies, procedures, resources, guides, you name it, it's going to be in there. You'll have access to me to ask questions via our closed Facebook group. You'll have a community of like-minded business owners and leaders and managers who are keen to learn and want to hear about each other's experiences. We're going to have special guest speakers every quarter on things slightly related to HR, but not within the core HR realm, things like workplace health and safety, workers' compensation, and those kind of things. So it's going to be jam-packed full of value and great information and lots of access to all the resources that you're going to need. If you'd love to join us, I would absolutely love to have you there. And to join, all you need to do is go to peoplepoweredbusiness.com.au. In the meantime, have a fabulous week. I really appreciate you joining me today, and I look forward to seeing you next week, or speaking to you next week, on the People Powered Business Podcast.